The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with the 31st verse. This is our first lesson for today, this fifth Sunday in Lent. Dear friends in Christ, now it may come as a surprise to those of you who are younger, but newer isn't always better. Many people over 20 will readily say that the music of today pales in comparison to the music of their generation, mostly because of lack of originality or musical ability. Things like appliances today aren't made like they used to be. They used to be made to last, and if they broke, you were able to fix them yourself. But now, they don't even last a decade. And if they break down, you probably have to call someone to fix it. And even then, it's probably not worth the price. You're better off just buying a whole new appliance. Or laws and regulations, new laws and regulations, are passed every day. But they often cause more problems than they were meant to fix. Newer isn't always better. But, and this may come as a surprise to those of you who are older, newer usually is better. That's why newer things are made every day. Technology advances. The old things wear out. Styles change. Safety requirements are newer and improved. Newer is usually better. Now today we're going to talk about something old and something new, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And we see that the newer is not only better, the newer makes the old obsolete. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, oppressed by the pharaohs and the people of Egypt. They cried out to God. So God sent Moses to lead the people out of Egypt by having 10 plagues come upon the land of the Egyptians, including the last plague, the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt, and a Passover that saved the Israelites from that plague. Pharaoh finally let the Israelites leave his country. But when he saw all his free labor just walk right out of the land, he changed his mind. And with the world's most powerful army, he came chasing after the Israelites at the Red Sea. The Israelites thought they'd either all be captured or killed. But then God drowned the world's most powerful army in the depths of that Red Sea. Once again, God had saved his people. In the years that followed, as they wandered through the wilderness, God was with his people, directing them where they should go and when they should stay. He gave them plenty of water to drink and food to eat, including manna from heaven. When enemies attacked in times of war, he gave them victory after victory. He kept them from disease and kept their resources and even their clothes from wearing out. Everything the Israelites had was due to the Lord. He had given them everything. It wasn't long after what happened at the Red Sea, the Israelites encamped on the base of Mount Sinai. There is where God appeared to Moses, and he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and along with all the other laws and regulations that he had set up for the Israelites. It was there on Mount Sinai that God entered into a covenant with the Israelites, what we call the Old Covenant. Now, a covenant is an agreement between two parties, a pact. This covenant was based on the laws that God had given through Moses. Now this covenant, this agreement, was that if was a two-sided covenant, a two-sided agreement. If you keep your end of the bargain, I'll keep mine. But if you don't keep your end of the bargain, I won't keep mine. And you'll be punished and face the consequences for not holding up your end. Again and again, Moses explained this covenant to the Israelites, including in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all the his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. In other words, if you obey all my commands, if you follow all my word perfectly and never sin, you'll be blessed. But if you do sin, if you do fail to keep my commands perfectly, you will be condemned. And of course, we know what happened. The Israelites threw it all away. They failed to obey God's commands. When they entered into the promised land of Canaan, God told them to completely destroy and drive out all the pagan countries and the pagan peoples from their lands. They failed to do so. Soon, they began to talk and hang out with these pagan individuals, even intermarrying with them, which led them to worship into these false gods. They rejected the Lord as the one true God as they began to worship and bow down and offer sacrifices to these idols of the Canaanites. They had failed to hold up to their end of the bargain. And so God punished his children again and again. The majority of Jeremiah's ministry was pronouncing judgment on the people of Israel. By the time Jeremiah began preaching, the northern kingdom had already been destroyed by the Assyrians and lost to history. Now Jeremiah was warning the southern kingdom that they were going to face the same end, that they were going to be taken into exile by the Babylonians because they failed to obey God's commands and were going after false gods. And make no mistake about it, we're no different than the Jews. If it was up to us, if we were in the same situation as those Israelites were, we would do the same thing. The old covenant requires that we keep all of God's law perfectly, and we can't do that. The old covenant cannot be followed, it cannot be kept, not because of an inherent problem with the old covenant, but because of an inherent problem of us who are supposed to keep the old covenant. We are conceived and born in a sin. And because of our sinful nature, we can't obey God's commands. We can't live up to the level of perfection that God demands of us. Numerous times a day, we fail to obey his word. We can't hold up our end of the agreement. And so we should face the consequences. We should be put to death eternally for not obeying his word. The old covenant then condemns. And that's what will happen to us unless a new covenant, a new agreement is made. And that's exactly what the Lord promises through Jeremiah in our text for today. A new covenant. Just think about God's reaction. He entered into a covenant, an agreement with his people. Even though he was faithful, even though he was a faithful husband to his people, they went after false gods. They rejected him. And yet, God, in His grace and in His mercy, not only promised that they would be taken back from exile after 70 years, but also that God would enter into a new agreement, give them this new covenant. And this new covenant would make the old covenant obsolete. Now see, the new covenant is the opposite of the old covenant. The old covenant, a two-sided covenant, demanded that we keep God's laws and God will bless us. And if we don't keep God's laws, we will be condemned. The new covenant is a unilateral covenant, a one-sided agreement. The new covenant says that we don't have to worry about keeping God's laws perfectly because Christ, His Son, kept it perfectly for us. We don't have to worry about earning God's favor or being punished for our sins because Christ's perfect life has been given to us. The new old covenant condemns. The new covenant saves. And this new covenant comes to us through the gospel and is received through faith in Jesus. And whenever we're talking about the new covenant, it's hard not to mention the Lord's Supper. You may remember that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He said about the blood, "This is my blood of the new covenant." In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us His very true body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine. So in the Lord's Supper, we receive the very things that Christ shed on the cross that ushered in the new covenant. In the Lord's Supper, we receive the new covenant. We receive the forgiveness of sins. Moses was the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus, as our high priest, is the mediator of the new covenant. In chapter 8 of his letter to the Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews is comparing the Old Testament priest to our New Testament priest, Jesus. And he says, "The ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises." Jesus is the one who ushered in the new covenant by shedding His blood on the cross. And what did the Jews do with Jesus? They rejected Him. They failed to believe in Him as their Savior. The Jews have been waiting for thousands of years for this promised Messiah to come. And when He finally came, they betrayed Him and arrested Him and mocked and ridiculed Him. Jesus suffered much at the hands of the chief priests and teachers of the law. And then they handed Jesus over to the Pilate and the Romans to be crucified. God had given them that new covenant, the forgiveness of sins for free, and they wanted nothing to do with it. They rejected Him. And where are the Jews now? No longer children of God. What about us? What is God's new covenant to us? At times we may treat it the same as the Jews. Not that we reject Christ outright, like many of the Jews did, but we often treat the new covenant as many of the Jews treated the old covenant, as if it's not that big of a deal. We often doesn't seem as if we care too much about this new covenant. We may start hanging out with others who are unbelievers, not that that's wrong in and of itself, but then we begin to think like the rest of the world. We began to have the same priorities as the rest of the world. Soon the things of this world become more and more important. God's word is downplayed. The truth becomes less and less important. And we then begin to practice in the detestable practices of this world. The new covenant, God's gospel, His truth, becomes less and less important in our lives. So then, today again, we are reminded of what the new covenant is. The bottom line of what the new covenant is comes from the end of our text. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. We are horrible, miserable sinners who commit wicked and indecent acts day after day, and yet the Lord forgives us. He releases us from our sins through the blood that He shed on the cross. All our sins have been paid for. They have been removed. Through the shedding of His blood, we have been made clean and pure in the eyes of the Lord. And He will remember them no more. Not as if God forgets things. No, He is God. He's almighty. He never forgets things. He knows each and everything that you have done wrong. But that just shows us how gracious God really is. He knows what you have done wrong, but He doesn't hold them against you. He's not going to bring them up in the future. He's not going to condemn you. They're not going to come back to haunt you. He's not going to demand payment for your sins 20 years from now or when you die. No, He remembers them no more in the sense that He won't count them against you. It's as if in His mind that you never committed those sins because Christ gave you His perfect life. He has declared you not guilty because of His Son. You are pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord. That's the new covenant. The new agreement that God made with us as His people. Just the fact that God would enter into an agreement, make Him put Himself under an obligation to us, is an indication of His grace. But then when we think about what that agreement is, that He would send His Son to suffer and die and save us from our sins and give us the free gift of eternal life, we see how gracious God is and how precious is this new covenant. So we don't turn aside from that new covenant. We embrace it. We run toward it. In these remaining days of Lent and beyond, we follow after Christ. We cling to that new promise that of forgiveness of sins and a sure hope of eternal life in heaven. We get into the Word daily. We make use of the Lord's Supper. We receive it often. Because through Him, our sins are forgiven, and they will be remembered no more. Now, it is true that sometimes newer isn't always better. But that's not the case with the old and new covenant. We couldn't hold up our end of the old covenant and deserve to be killed. Deserve to be condemned. So God gave us a new covenant. That His Son would die in our place. That His Son would be condemned. That His Son would give us His perfect life. That new covenant is for you. A new and better covenant. That your sins are forgiven. And they will be remembered no more. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.